The BS Report with Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons is brought to you by Lamisil AT Gel. It's proven to relieve the burn of athlete's foot between the toes. Once a day, 1 week, and you're done.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. The baseball season started this week with the Red Sox playing a two-game series in Japan. So we'd be remiss if we didn't call my buddy Jacko at work for America's Running Favorite segment. Johnny, are you worried yet? This is where we call him at work. He's a diehard Yankee fan, and we see how worried he is about the 2008 season. So let's give him a ring.
Complex Litigation, this is John.
Johnny!
Hey, there he is. I figured you were giddy with excitement.
Well, I'm actually not giddy because I'm just so morally opposed to, first of all, opening day not being Monday afternoon.
Right.
And then second, that this game was played at 3 o'clock a.m. Pacific time.
Mm.
Even if it was like 6, maybe I break out a running diary, but 3 o'clock, no.
That's a rough one.
3 o'clock Pacific time, no. But even East Coast time, it was a little early, I think, for everybody's liking.
Yeah, 6 a.m. with the 5 a.m. pregame, yeah. It was good while I got ready for work. I tuned it in, and they were losing 2-0, and that made me happy. Started my day off. I didn't need that extra cup of coffee. A little spring in my step.
It's just, and now, so they play these two games and then come back to California mm-hmm. and play exhibition games.
Right. Makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it?
Why do they do it?
So idiotic, I don't know. It's almost as bad as the Dodgers going to China for an exhibition game. China. Beijing. It's a joke.
They love expansion. All right, so let's talk about the Sox.
All right.
Manny looks like he's, I don't know if you could call it a contract year, but he's saying and doing all the right things.
It's a
looks
good
like
start.
Looks like he's poised for a monster year.
You think it has anything to do with the fact that he's reading that book, The Secret?
Yeah, what is The Secret?
The Secret is some gibberish that apparently the way I understand it is if you really, really hope for something and really concentrate, it'll come true. Hmm. Like if I really, really, really hope that Gisele Bündchen breaks up with Tom Brady and comes knocking at my door, it will happen if I just concentrate hard enough. Which reminds me, I have to go and start concentrating.
And people buy this?
Apparently, yeah. I think that's like the gist of it. That's the gist of it I saw in like Best Week Ever or some snarky show that commented on it.
But you have to hope for something realistic, I assume.
I don't think so. I think no? Anything you want, apparently, like, you know. And it's really come true for the authors of that book because they got millions and millions of suckers to buy their book, so all their dreams are coming true.
Hmm. Well, maybe Manny's hoping for like a 440 on base percentage.
It could
maybe
be.
Maybe he kept it realistic.
Manny's hoping for like 75 home runs and 220 ribbies or something, you know, just really concentrating.
Yeah.
I don't think Manny really has the power of concentration, frankly, but.
What did you think of the Japanese stadium?
I didn't really, you know, I only tuned it in for a minute or two. I heard that it was really loud and it was, you know, it looked like sort of a generic type dome to me.
Yeah.
They all had the thunder sticks or whatever, right?
Did they have the Thunder Sticks?
I think so. I don't know. I thought I saw something on the internet, like a picture. Maybe that was from one of the exhibition games, like on one of the websites. They had a, you know, picture of some kid in the stands with what looked to be Thunder Sticks.
Well, apparently on DirecTV back, I don't know, well, it must have been everywhere, but back east, my friends who had DirecTV said that there was some sort of outage and they couldn't see the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, I get NESN on my local cable, so that I tuned into regular NESN. And well, it was on.
But it's regular cable, though.
Right, exactly. I don't have DirecTV, yeah. So maybe it was a problem with DirecTV.
So imagine setting your alarm for like 5:30 to see the Sox and your TV's out.
It's not good.
That would stink. How are the Yanks looking? Give us the update.
Well, what do you think about the National Treasures performance today? Dice K.
What? You thought it was a little dicey K?
I thought it was a little dicey. I mean, he's 5 innings, 100 pitches.
Yeah, he's good for 20 pitches an inning.
I don't know, $100 million bucks?
Spring training. Hey, this to me is a spring training game. I'm not going to get upset.
I went out lunchtime today, and on the radio, and Mike and the Mad Dog, they were talking about the game, and Mad Dog said, you know, there was a lot of excitement in the stadium, Mike. It was like a home game. I think it was because of Daisuke and Iwo Jima. He calls him Iwo Jima. Now, I can't believe Clint Eastwood made a whole movie about letters from Hideki Iwo Jima just from back home. I mean, you know, I don't think there's really enough to get a whole movie out of that, but apparently there was. Iwo Jima.
Hey, dog, I think it's Okajima.
And then they almost got in a fist fight as to who was a better hitter, Manny Ramirez or David Ortiz. That was exciting radio.
Wow. Well, Manny laid down the gauntlet recently said they're the greatest 1-2 punch ever. And Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, I think, were furious from the grave.
Jesus.
But you could make the case that they're number two.
You could make a strong argument.
Yeah, especially
Mantle
the two
Merit,
World Series.
Yeah.
The two World Series are helping them.
It's not hurting. Wow.
All right, so let's look at the Yanks.
All right.
So, opening day starters is Chin-Ming Wong.
Sure.
Who's number two?
Well, it would have been Pettit, but he's got the back spasms.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's problematic.
It's a spasm.
It'd be a good excuse to get back on the HGH for medicinal purposes, no? Maybe?
Well, maybe the spasm, one of the injections hit the wrong spot.
Could be. That could be it. You got to be careful.
So who's
number two?
That
should only be done by trained professionals. I don't know who's going to start game two. I guess Phil Hughes.
Ooh. How you feeling about him?
I don't know. He got knocked around the other day. He gave up like 7 runs in not very many innings. He got murdered the other day against like the Rays or something. Maybe not the Rays. I forget who they played, but he got knocked around pretty good. The Reds, maybe.
I don't know what to make of this American League. There's so few starters and there's so many crappy closers that it just seems like whoever has the best offense is going to win.
Well, Houston Street looked good today. How many fantasy teams did he kill already right off the bat today with that performance?
Well, there's a whole controversy about, you know, some people have their draft this weekend. Like my American League draft is this weekend, and we have a rule that you can retroactively bench guys after your team is assembled. Even if it's somebody like Street.
Really?
So if Street gets bombed and he gets the loss, you could just bench him for the first week and retroactively not get killed by those stats. But then other people have a rule like if the guy's a starter, then he should be a starter and you shouldn't have that flexibility. But it's a little fantasy debate. One of the 2,000 reasons why this early start sucks.
Right. It's ridiculous.
But I've been preparing for my American League draft, and the lack of quality starters in the American League is frankly startling.
Really? So
so
I shouldn't be concerned about the Yanks rotation? That's par for the course?
Not only is it par for the course, it's probably one of like the top four rotations.
Really?
Yeah. Because Lackey just went down for the Angels. Like, he was really their
right.
Really reliable starter. We have Beckett, who I don't even know what's going on with
that. His career is basically hanging by a thread at this point.
Yeah.
That's
like
what I keep telling myself.
The pitching is so bad that Tampa Bay's pitching staff, now that you could argue that their top three starters are above average.
Because you have Kazmir and Silva, right?
Well, and James Shields.
Oh, yeah, right.
Matt Garza, who they traded Delman Young for.
Right.
So I think it's going to be an interesting first month. I could see the scoring just being out of control.
Right,
Will be fun for us because we get to watch a lot of 11-9 games.
Absolutely. I mean, the Yanks will probably be involved in a lot of 11-9 games all season long. So
the closers are really bad. Like you know, Houston Street, I think everybody thinks is an above average closer. I personally don't think he is, but you throw in Troy Percival,
eesh.
Todd Jones, another year of him.
Yikes.
Joe Burrasky.
Eesh.
Slim Pickens, John.
Still very sketchy. Papelbon a little shaky today, too, speaking of closers.
Yeah, but, you know, can you really count anything that's happening in Japan as some sort of indication?
Come on, I'm trying to grasp something here. The Red Sox came from behind to win. Give me something, for God's sake. Can you give me something?
Listen,
Kill Daisuke? Can I kill Papelbon? That's all I have.
You can't try to sneak a fastball past Brandon Moss.
No, boy, this guy. J.D. Drew, boy. J.D. Drew might never see the light of day again. Could be a Wally Pipp type situation and Lou Gehrig.
Do we know what happened to J.D. Drew?
Said his back was tight or something. He couldn't play.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I guess
it's a bad sushi.
The rumors of his big fantasy start were greatly over-exaggerated.
Apparently, yeah.
So, who did the Yanks start against?
Yes, you know, I shouldn't. This is ridiculous. I don't even know who they open against.
This is terrible.
It's an awful job by me.
I don't think you've... It's an awful job by you, Johnny.
Terrible. God,
I don't think you've ever been less prepared for opening day. You don't know your pitching staff. You don't know who you're starting against.
It's been a rough couple of years, and I'm still getting over the fact that they don't have Johan Santana. I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
Johan Santana really became my Kevin Durant. Part of me died when he went to the Mets.
Yeah, the only thing about Santana is that the Twins just ponied up for Joe Nathan, their closer.
I saw that.
They gave him like one of the best deals a closer's ever got. And now that I was just reading in Buster Olney's column, the theory is maybe they were a little more concerned about Santana's long-term future than they let on initially.
Really?
What do you think of that?
Well, that would be good. I don't wish any ill will to Johan Santana, but it would be good if he turned out not to be that great. The Yankees open up against the Toronto Blue Jays.
I know. I was just looking at that.
And then they have an intriguing series against the Rays. A little bad blood carrying over.
Oh, and then look at that. You go to Kansas City. Right as the wheels are going to come off, everybody's excited about them. You know they're going to go like 1-6, and then the Royals fans are going to do the whole, oh, my God, it's starting again. They'll do that whole thing. Oh, then you come to Boston for Marathon. Is that the Marathon? No, it's the next weekend. So you got Toronto, Tampa, at KC, at Boston, at Tampa, a two-game jaunt against the Sox.
Yeah, who makes up these baseball schedules where the Red Sox open
weird.
In Japan, and then immediately, like right off the bat, there's five Yankees-Red Sox games, including a two-game series?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Of course, because Bud Selig's in the Red Sox back pocket. The Yankees go there for three games, and they only have to play at Yankee Stadium for
Stop
two.
It.
That's convenient. That's interesting.
Stop it.
That's interesting.
So
and then, of course,
think...
they don't play again until, like, June, I think, or late May. Baseball, like, immediately, like, blows it out immediately with five games in the first week of the season, and then there's nothing for 2 months. That's smart. Good planning.
Well, what was the year? Was it last year or 2 years ago? We had, like, 10 or 12 games
April
and May.
Yeah, then they didn't play again until, like, August or something, yeah.
Well, then you have, after Boston, you got at Baltimore, at Chi Sox, at Cleveland, and then finishing off home against Detroit.
Ooh.
It's a fairly tough first month, except for...
Well, you got some Devil Rays
at Baltimore.
Kansas City, some Baltimore.
Devil Rays are frisky this year, though.
Well,
I'm telling you.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I think they're frisky. I think Baltimore is the basement team this year.
That's definite. They're
hey, did
awful.
You know the name of Cleveland Stadium is Progressive Field?
It's not Jacobs Field anymore?
Yeah, what happened to Jacobs? They kill him?
Does he still own the team?
Progressive Field.
Progressive.
It's a little strange.
It's bad. Progressive Insurance, I take it.
Yeah, I guess.
Progressive Field.
And Oakland is McAfee Coliseum. Did I know that?
I don't know.
This is weird. The stadium names just change. Like, they don't even, like, I don't even think they release news reports about it.
Is McAfee, like, the computer virus company?
Yeah.
Not that they make viruses, they protect you from viruses.
They protect you from viruses.
Do they have a whole stadium?
Yes.
Can you go in if you're sick? Like, if you have a cold or something? Or, it's awful. McAfee.
What else do you want to talk about? Anything?
No.
Watching March Madness?
I am watching March Madness.
Really? Did you fill out a bracket?
I did. My bracket's done. It's over with.
Who'd you have?
Well, my final four was UCLA, North
nice.
Carolina. I went way out on a limb there.
Yeah.
Georgetown and Michigan State.
Ouch. Georgetown.
So Georgetown's going to hurt me. And
but who'd you have in the finals?
Yeah, UCLA over Carolina.
So your bracket's
not
done.
I think one or two other people might have picked a similar final.
That's like a bracket my mom would fill out.
Yeah, how's that USC pick doing, buddy? How's OJ Mayo working out for you?
OJ and I have some healing to do.
How about Stephen Curry? How good is that kid? I actually took Thursday off from work and was. I think they played Friday, but I watched the majority of the games on Thursday and on Friday.
They were bad on Thursday and then better on Friday.
Thursday was awful, but Friday, that Stephen Curry, my God, how good is he?
All right, let's get to the real issue. Did you see the Real World Road Rules Challenge?
You know, I really was not that into it this year. I didn't really
watch
it. I really didn't. I turned on the other day and I saw like a minute when some guy was like hyperventilating or something or heat stroke. Did he live at the end? What happened?
Well, see, that
and
was
other
probably...
people wanted to like drag his carcass down to the finish line. I'm not sure what the ruling was on that, but
that was the greatest moment in the history of the show.
And he was talking about how he couldn't even recognize faces. He was basically like dying on the Mexican beach or wherever country they're in.
The guy was dying of heat stroke and God knows what else. Like, his eyes were rolling back in his head. Big fat guy.
Right.
And his teammates were furious at him and wanted to drag him the rest of the way for the challenge because, you know, each of them wanted to split like 30 grand. Which after taxes is like 18 grand or whatever, but they were literally willing to risk this guy's life. Like, he was dying
however,
in front of them.
The 18 grand is about 17 grand more than any of them have made in gainful employment of any kind. So
I was going to say the good news for them, because they didn't win anything, is they don't have to file taxes this year.
It's good.
But it was an amazing, amazing episode.
So they lost because the guy was dying on the beach.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you're that guy, and he's been on some other shows, like, don't you step it up in the off season and get on the treadmill and eat a salad or two? Like, wouldn't you show up? Like, you don't want to kill your teammates, do you? Or yourself?
Well, and this is, you've just gotten to the great thing about this whole season. All the guys were afraid to go against him in the gauntlet because he was such a big guy. They were afraid it would be some sort of challenge that he would just be able to use his size and overwhelm them.
So
none of them manned up. Well, none of them manned up to try to get him off the team before the big final challenge that is always like a lot of running and it's an endurance thing, and this guy is like 325 pounds.
I would think the other team would have tried to, would want him around. They'd want to keep him in there. Like, they wouldn't send him in. Was this still the thing where the other team gets to pick
him? Well, that's what they did in the last, challenge. They protected that guy from going in. So then when the big final endurance challenge rolled around, this guy floundered, which was predictable because he was about 325 pounds. And then it was like a half-mile swim. Started out with a half-mile swim. Oof. He couldn't even finish that. But I'm disappointed you didn't watch, Johnny.
I just couldn't get that into it. I don't know. And I figured they'll replay it over and over. I could watch it, you know, at some point. They'll have a marathon. I'll catch up. But
did you hear about the Real World Awards?
I did. That's coming up. I'm excited for that. That's
we
like
could have gone.
Weekend,
it was
it?
March 15th.
Oh, it's recorded.
It happened.
It did.
Apparently, Cora was furious because she won the roommate you most like to hate award and went off on everybody.
The fact that it's taped really hurts my bracket because we were going to run a little pool about the Real World Awards, but now that's no good now.
Jeff Ross was hosting.
Does he roast anybody?
I think actually he roasted a couple people and Puck took exception and threw him in a pool.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you not go to this? You know Jeff Ross.
I was invited. I didn't go to this because I'm married with two kids, and I just think it would have not been good potentially.
Really?
I wouldn't have been able to tame my unrequited love for who was
Dan from Miami.
Dan from Miami. It would have been tough. We would have, you know, we've been circling each other all these years. they had
you know,
a red
he and
carpet.
I have this, he and I have the same birthday, not the same year, but the same date.
Dan from Miami.
Yeah, because he went for an AIDS test on the show, and he had to give his birthday, and it was the same as mine.
Yeah. I remember the era when the AIDS test was actually like an entire episode for the Real World.
It was, yeah.
Now it's like nobody, you know, nobody's afraid of catching anything, I think, at this point.
Well, they don't really deal with any big issues now anymore. They just get a bunch of, like, college people. And now everyone's in college, and they just get drunk and hook up.
Yeah.
It's not quite as socially responsible a show, but more entertaining, frankly.
Well, I was trying to get you into Paradise Hotel 2, which, in my opinion, might be the reality show of the century so far.
Really?
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. There are no rules. It's really like the last one was. There are no rules. The rules kind of are made up as they go along.
I was wondering what the premise is.
The premise is there's 11 roommates, and they're all partying at Paradise Hotel. And like every 2 days, a new roommate comes in and things get jostled and somebody gets voted off, basically. So there's like ostensibly strategy, even though there's not.
Right.
Like you want to like stick to your roommate, but she could potentially jump to somebody else. But some people are just there to get drunk and party.
Sure.
But then you have the people who are like, I'm playing the game. Hey, man, I'm just playing the game. Like everybody talks about the game.
Yeah.
The game is like a big thing. Nobody knows what the game is.
The strategy goes out the window after half a bottle of Patron and 15 Jello shots.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough to focus on the master plan.
So this guy, Raheem, who was in it, who for a while was the only black guy, and then they got a second black guy in, but he was very big in the game and strategy, and he decided that he would call his alliance the government, and he called himself the Secretary of Defense.
Nice.
and referred to, in all conversations, referred to the government, referred to himself in the third person.
Fantastic. But
unfortunately, he roomed with this girl who was probably like a size 44D bra size, I'm going to go with.
That's going to hurt the strategy right there, too.
Well, he thought they were America's favorite couple, and then she decided to, there's this guy who kind of looks like Kurt Cobain.
Really?
With the mustache thing. He's kind of like Kurt Cobain if he was a surfer.
A happy Kurt Cobain.
So she decided to have sex with this guy in the shower.
Well.
And all the other people were kind of watching, and then Raheem's like, hey, what's going on? And he goes over and sees what's going on in the shower, and it just led to two episodes of complete chaos.
Well, did he have a love interest with the roommate?
Well, he'd kind of claimed her, he had thought.
Really?
Yeah.
And Kurt Cobain stepped in. And
Kurt Cobain stepped in liberally. And all hell broke loose. And anyway, it's only about five episodes in.
Is there time for me to still get involved? I'm intrigued by this now.
I think you go backwards. You start from episode one. You throw yourself into it, and you really bow to the power of Raheem, because he might be the single greatest reality TV character of all time.
I like the government and the Secretary of Defense thing. That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, then he was upset because he felt like the government had been betrayed. So that
really?
Was good. Yeah.
The government was betrayed by the infiltration, literally, of Kurt Cobain. Smells like teen spirit indeed.
And this girl, it's just great. Anyway.
Fantastic.
The weird thing is it's on the Fox Reality Channel.
Oh, I get that. What are the ratings for that thing? Like three people?
Well, that's what I don't get. Is Fox has so many terrible shows. I don't know why they just wouldn't have put this on Fox.
Sure.
It would have been a much better Fox show, in my opinion.
Right, especially with the writer's strike and everything, and people could have tuned into that religiously.
And then the other show that's really good is a show called High School Reunion on TV Land.
Oh, yeah, I've seen snippets of that. I remember it was on a different channel a couple of years ago. I actually watched it several years ago.
Yeah, they did a smart thing. They did a 20-year high school reunion.
So everybody's like 37?
Yes, everyone's like kind of in our age range, a little bit older. But,
right.
But they play all the music from that era.
80s music.
Yeah, so that's good. But the best part is it's this group of friends from this Texas high school, and one of the couples is now divorced.
Ooh.
Which is a little awkward when she showed up.
And they're both in the house?
Yeah, and what made it a little more awkward was after they got divorced, his best friend from high school moved in with him, and he started sleeping with his ex-wife.
The friend,
and it went on for like 6 months, and then the guy found out, and all hell broke loose, which is the second time I've said that phrase in this podcast.
Wow.
So it was very awkward between them, and everybody knew the story, and the first episode goes by, and the second episode, they had three new roommates show up, and one of the roommates is this guy's best friend who slept with his ex-wife for like 6 months and lied to him about it, and he joins the house.
Hey, buddy, what's new?
It is unbelievable.
Now I really have to leave work right now because I have to go home and see if either or both of these shows are available on demand. This is fantastic.
And that's not even the best part, Johnny.
Oh, we didn't even get there yet.
Well, actually, that was the best part.
Oh.
There are two other really good parts. First of all, there's a guy in there who's a recent widow.
Oh, my God.
And he's, like, just getting back in the dating thing. And it's actually, like, you feel bad for him. Like, he's one of, like, the first reality TV characters that I've actually, like, felt empathy for. And then there's another lifelong lesbian who decided that this would be the week maybe she'd give it a whirl with men. Great show, Johnny.
Jeez, my high school was nowhere near as interesting as that.
They also had, it's funny because they give everybody a title, so when they show their names, so it's like, Miss Popular, the Jock, the Pipsqueak.
The Secretary of Defense.
So then when,
oh, that's a different show. I'm sorry.
Well, when the guy who slept with the guy's ex-wife showed up, he became the backstabber.
Nice.
And every time he talked, they'd show he was like the backstabber. He looks like a baseball pitcher. He kind of looks like Steve Phillips with a Fu Manchu a little bit. But, don't say anything. It'll get edited.
Was the widower the widower?
Yeah.
Is that what he was called? The widower?
No, I think he was called the Jock.
Oh,
he was like
the Jock.
The Jock.
But, in parentheses, the widower. Yeah, that's just
but it's great.
Another role.
It's really good, though. Hey, it's two of the better. I really thought the reality genre had kind of passed me by, but between that, these two and the Real World Road Rules Challenge, the people willing to sacrifice their roommates.
You know, people say that American culture is really on the decline, but I disagree. I mean, when you have shows like this where a guy's best friend sleeps with his ex-wife and then they're all put in a house together, I mean, that's really, how high-minded can you be?
Yeah.
It's really, God bless America. And then they all went back to Harvard to continue their doctoral studies.
Well, I'm still hoping, you know, we've been saying it for 10 years, but I'm still hoping for the Real World type of show, but on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't really crossed that line yet. Like in Big Brother, they have the Big Brother After Dark Showtime, but it's not really good. Nothing happens.
No.
They just need to put these people in a house and say, hey, bedroom cameras, we're showing everything.
Oh, people would definitely go for it.
Let loose.
Absolutely.
But I feel like the ratings would go through the roof.
Oh, yeah. That's a license to print money, my friend.
The company that needs that channel that needs to do it is Starz. Starz needs some sort of hook. Nobody knows what Starz is.
Something to battle Cinemax and Showtime. Yeah.
Cinemax has an identity. Showtime has an identity. HBO does.
Yeah. You heard it here first, Starz executives.
Are you watching John Adams?
I'm not. I don't have HBO anymore. I switched to Showtime.
But
I did it right before.
Because of the L word?
Exactly. That spoke to me on a more personal level. I love the show Deadwood, and I like Curb Your Enthusiasm, but both of those were done.
Yep.
So I switched to Showtime, and then they started this John Adams series, which would be right up my alley, of course. So that's disappointing. But in the age of DVD, I could rent all these things, you know, so I can watch it. I read the John Adams book. So
you're not missing much with the John Adams miniseries.
No. The guy from Paul Giamatti's in it, though. Does he drink Merlot?
He's miscast, though. You're thinking that he's the sideways guys the whole time, like just wearing a wig.
Really?
Yeah, I lasted about 45 minutes.
That was about it for you?
Yeah, I really had trouble with the side, and the sports gal didn't care, so she lost interest in about 5 minutes. But
historical drama's not really your thing.
It's slow. It's very, you know. It's kind of plotting.
Unless it was about Red Auerbach's early years, that would be a historical drama you could get into, but not so much John Adams.
I thought the New York Times made an interesting point that the worst part about John Adams is John Adams.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not good.
All right, Johnny. We'll call you back next week. What are you weighing in this week?
One.
All right.
All right.
I will talk to you later.
Good time.
Bye.
See ya.
So I get to sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.